Thank you very much for that, ladies and gentlemen. Your Land Bank freezing order conference call, hosted by David Keane, will now begin. My name is Carly. I'm your event manager today. During the conference, your lines will remain on listen only. If you do require assistance at any point during the conference, you can key *0 on your telephone keypad and one of our operators will be happy to assist you. Okay, David, I'm going to hand over to yourself now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining at short notice. I'm sorry we're a little bit late kicking off. We decided to wait for people to join. My name is David Keane from ISDA. We also have on the line Ed Murray and Simon Haddock from A&O, who are our counsel. Just briefly by way of introduction, a number of people are aware of the freezing order that was issued yesterday in relation to Lands Bank, which potentially could affect the ability to close out underneath the master agreement and to affect close out netting, obviously of great concern. Simon and Ed have been since last night in contact with Treasury to express our concern about this and to try and get the order changed or to get some kind of clarity on the position. And whilst we haven't had any result yet, as far as I know, we are, the Treasury understand, I think, our concerns. What I will do now is hand over to Ed and Simon to perhaps give you a little bit of background on the order, what the issues are, and to go into a little more detail about what they have been doing in discussion with the Treasury. At the moment, all the lines are muted. If people have questions at the end, we can deal with questions at the end. But because we do have a large number of people on the line, we thought it'd be easier just to have the lines muted so that people can hear. Ed, Simon?
Yeah, Simon, I'm going to go through the chronology of events because I think the timing is important as well, because people may well have done things that they need to look at in the context of the order. The order came into effect yesterday at 10:10 a.m. I think it landed on people's desks, hopefully, around about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The order on its face, I'd say this is it's made under the Anti-Terrorism, Crime and Security Act of 2001, it was forced through fairly quickly. On its face, it prevents dealing in frozen funds. Funds is widely drafted to include any form of financial asset, which on a broad interpretation could, of course, include all the derivatives. Frozen funds are funds owned, held, or controlled by Lands Bank. Again, on a broad interpretation in the context of the derivative, at least half of the derivative is owned by them, and the restriction is on a person not dealing with frozen funds. Dealing is widely drafted to include alter, deal with in any other way that could result in any change in volume, amount, location, ownership, possession, character, or destination, or make any other change that would enable use. Immediately we saw that, we thought, oh dear, that may well cover closing out. We got on the call to the Treasury yesterday evening, and we contacted a lady called Rebecca Lane. We ran through the analysis in the context of what was happening in the market, explaining that all market participants were closing out their ISDAs with Lands Bank, and they were exercising their netting rights within the ISDA, and then once they determine a net sum, they may well be exercising set-off rights and closing out other market contracts. The initial response of the Treasury last night was, oh, that's caught. However, on full explanation of what was going on, they stepped back from that position and seemed to accept that closing out netting and set-off was fine, but obviously once you determined a net or set-off amount, no payment could be made to Lands Bank. That was the position as of last night. We then overnight got an email from the lady at the Treasury saying that they'd been further deliberating this and that set-off was prohibited. She did not go on to say that you couldn't close out, and she did not specifically deal with the netting that's contained in the ISDA agreement. Therefore,
Can I just ask you? They also went to say that the Treasury have the power to grant a license under the order, including a general license, and that the possibility of issuing a general license to permit the exercise of rights of set off is under active consideration by the Treasury. And that was a message sent last night at about 10:30 p.m. And she said that the Treasury appreciated the urgent need for certainty and clarity. Of course, we came back this morning, and I think Sam is just about to go on to this. To raise this issue of the broader questions of early termination and closeout netting.
Yeah, we've emailed back and made a couple of attempted calls to get hold of the relevant person this morning, really to clarify the netting position. and to push very hard to lobby for this general license to be granted to the industry.
And also for generally for sort of some sort of communication from the Treasury on these points, yeah.
We've, as many people as we could call this morning, we have called at the banks to get them to lobby the Treasury as well. The position seems to be at the moment that, based on the oral conversation yesterday, closing out between 10:10 and close of business yesterday, closing out ISDAs would have been acceptable on the basis of the oral confirmation that we had. However, there is, of course, a risk, and it is a criminal statute, and the general wording in the statute would cover close out, so we're relying on our oral confirmation. As of this morning, I would have thought that close out of any form of repo or stock lending transaction which relies on set off rather than netting should not be done without clearing it with the Treasury specifically, and certainly no payments of any net amounts should be made to Landesbank. There have also been discussions in the course of today about the correspondent banking accounts with Landesbank, which apparently is acts as a clearing bank for Icelandic krona. It would seem again not advisable to make any payment to any of those accounts. I believe they're frozen anyway in Iceland, or enable money to be taken out of those accounts, because that would again be dealing with Landesbank. That shouldn't be done without clearing it with the Treasury. We know that the message we put into the Treasury is going up the Treasury through various senior people, because we've had two or three emails, Ed?
Three emails
back confirming that it's being looked at by three different people, all of who we think is of a relatively high seniority.
Yeah, and we were told that there was actually a meeting that I think commenced about 10:30 this morning at the Treasury, where a fairly senior Treasury legal advisor named Duncan Cromarty, who seems to be the main person in Treasury legal looking at this, was about to go into the meeting. He said that we would be hearing back from him or from the asset freezing unit at the Treasury as soon as that meeting ended. As of now, we have not yet heard back, and I've got my email up in front of me right now, so we're still waiting to hear back. But that's basically where we are, I guess.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we're lobbying to the extent that one can lobby the Treasury as a law firm. We're lobbying, first of all, for clear information to the market as to what they can and cannot do, and secondly, for this license to be granted generally to make it clear that you can exercise set-off rights.
Okay. Thanks very much, Simon. Thanks very much, Ed. By the way, this call is being recorded, and we will post a link to it on our website shortly. I would like to open up now for any questions if people have them. Operator, how do we...
That's all right, no worries. I'll take over for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Record your name and press the hash key. All questions will be answered in the order they're received. If you wish to withdraw your question, you can key star 2, and that will take your question away. Can I try and remind all of you not to have your mute buttons on when you record your name? It may take 30 seconds while we wait for the questions to compile. Okay, so we do have our first question. This question comes from
Guy Clayton, Morgan Stanley.
Please go ahead.
Hi, question for you. Have you looked at the position with respect to cash trades which may be settling through exchange systems where Landesbanki may be the counterparty to those trades? Because I understand that some of the exchanges have not suspended them from dealing at this point.
Not specifically, but again, they would be covered by the order. Well, at least I see no reason why they shouldn't be covered by the order.
Yeah, because that would be difficult, because they may settle automatically, of course.
No, I mean, that may go to whether or not they would be exercise the rights. No prosecution can be made without the Director of Public Prosecutions or the Treasury. That may go to the question of whether or not one would be seeking to rely on the order to prosecute. I don't think it would go as to whether it's covered by the order there.
Yeah, no, it does sound as though it's covered by the order. I mean, perhaps the systems ought to be freezing those in accordance with the order.
I think we will feed that in as well. To the extent we do get a response from the Treasury, we'll feed that and suggest that they do some contact to the clearing systems as well.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, our caller hasn't recorded their name for this next question. I'm not sure if you rightly know who you are, but if you do, give us a shout out. Your line's live.
Hello, it's probably me, Mark Finney.
It is. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark, how could you?
Forgot to give my name. Two things. Payments to subsidiaries. I'm presuming that the risk is that those would be caught as well because of the controlling.
No, I'm not sure they are. Just bear with me for a second. Landesbank is defined as the Icelandic public limited company. The funds are funds owned, held or controlled by Landsbanki, or funds relating to Landsbanki owned, held or controlled by any of the authorities. The authorities are basically the government authorities, but let me just check, bear with me. Central Bank of Iceland, Icelandic Financial Services Authority, and Landesbanki Receivership Committee, and the government of Iceland. It does not, as far as I can see, and I haven't looked at the point before, cover any of the subsidiaries.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just specified persons under Section 3 of the order, and that just seems to be limited to Landsbanki, the authorities, and the government of Iceland.
What about funds in subsidiaries controlled by Landsbanki? And
it doesn't refer to control at all.
Well, I think you're probably looking, Mark, at 41A,
mm-hmm.
funds owned, funds held and controlled by Landsbanki. Because Landsbanki control monies that are owed by or to a subsidiary of Landsbanki. I wouldn't have thought so.
But again, remember, we're looking at a criminal order that was passed very, very rapidly. I think any areas of doubt should be cleared with the Treasury. But my first reading of that is no, it wouldn't be covered.
Yeah, I agree.
Remember, Mark, we're not sort of experts on exercise of orders under the Anti-Terrorism Climate Security Act 2001.
No, that's somewhat lacking in my experience as well. I have a second question regarding, again, I thought it's fairly obvious, but payments that have already been advised and possibly were advised into the system before took place and still potentially going through, those would be caught as well?
Well, I think it would depend on the cut-off point. If you gave the instructions and prior to the order coming into effect, but then those instructions couldn't be revoked, I suspect that I would argue, first of all, it would not be within the order. Secondly, even if it were within the order, I would argue that it would be one that they would not be likely to prosecute on because, of course, there was nothing you could do. My gut feeling is that once the instructions are gone, if they are irrevocable and it's prior to the order, that you should have been okay.
But if it is revocable?
If it's revocable, then it would, if it was, again, after 10:10, and you could have revoked it, it was paid after 10:10, then technically, yes, within the order, but as the orders didn't arrive at our desk until 4 o'clock, I would doubt that one would be prosecuted. But again, I don't know what the motivation is behind this.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much for that. Your next question comes from... Unfortunately, they've forgotten to record their name. Caller, go ahead.
Who have we got?
Can you just confirm that you're happy that...
Sorry, could we just get your name before you ask the question?
Luke Whitmore. Can you just confirm...
Sorry, from which institution?
We're calling from Clifford Chances and it's a member of ISDA.
Okay,
all right, okay.
Are you happy that the receivership committee that's been appointed by the Icelandic FSA would definitely trigger an event of default under the ISDA?
That was not the purpose of this call, but yes, that is the advice we've given the industry in relation to the three Icelandic banks, Glitmer, Landesbanki and Kaupthing, based on advice we've also received from ISDA's Icelandic Council.
That's fine. And my second question is, how do you think collateral amounts that would be owing back to Landesbanki under the closeout amount would be treated for the purposes of the freezing order?
You're talking about the Indersoll CSA?
Yeah.
So Indersoll CSA goes in as an unpaid amount, and next, same as I said earlier, effectively where you're looking at an unpaid amount, assuming you can get past the hurdle of closing out in the first place, which was the caveat I said. That was fall within netting, not within a set-off provision like the stock lending documentation, which crystallises the amount and then sets them off. This is a netting provision, which is there to determine the amount that's payable. A subtle distinction, but one that we would rely on.
But there shouldn't be anything.
Yeah. Once the net amount is determined, no payment can be made to Landesbank.
Including release of cash collateral, I would say, even under the deed.
Is that clear, Charles, for you as well? No, we'll have that conversation offline then. It's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from?
James Brown Freshfields.
Oh, they're all lining up against us. Hi.
We're not lining up against you at all, but it is obviously in everyone's interest that we should reach a common view on some of these points.
Absolutely.
You mentioned specifically that the position in relation to set-off has not been finally determined by the Treasury.
Correct.
And
it was orally yesterday, in that I went through exactly what was happening in the market with the Treasury, indicating that people were closing out to reduce their exposure to the Icelandic banks, and in doing so, they were determining the net amounts under the closeout is the contracts, and they were looking, once they'd gone past the netting, to determine the amounts, to set off any amounts against other amounts that might be due.
I think the Treasury's message about set-off was actually quite clear, the one that we received later after our conversation. I think they are of the view that set-off is captured by the order, and I think the only question for them is whether they should issue a general license to allow set-offs to occur. I think what remains uncertain is to the extent to which they believe that closeout netting is also captured, the right to early terminate and closeout net. And obviously, if it's closeout netting based on set-off, as under the repo or stock lending, then clearly we've already got an answer on that. If it's closeout netting under the ISDA or other agreements which use that kind of flawed asset approach, then there's still some argument that we're outside the order, and the Treasury has not expressed a view on that. Although, you know, again, we just have to wait and see what they say.
From the point of view, therefore, of giving practical advice to our clients, I think our position would be, and I would like to know whether you agree with this, that there is therefore no problem under this instrument with designating an early termination date in relation to an ISDA master agreement. However, to the extent the position is still vague on netting and or set-off, if there were any liability to accrue, it would accrue at the point in time that the party served a Section 6E2 notice setting out the valuation of the final amount, taking into account anything that was due.
But that is not the position that we've taken. I believe that the way that the ISDA designation works is that the changing of the contractual obligations under the master that would trigger the order, if you read it strictly, is the designation of the early termination date, because upon the designation of the early termination date, the transactions under there are altered, i.e.
Section 6C2, and that Section 6C2 clicks in when the notice is actually effective, even if that's, you know, sometime before the early termination date.
And that the events that follow are merely events that are designed to determine the values that are to be attached to the various transactions in order to determine the crystallized amount that is payable one way or the other. But I'm more than happy to discuss that, and equally I extend the offer to Clifford Charles to go offline and have all of us sit down and do a head-to-head on that. I'm quite happy.
I think that would be a useful proposal. The second point that
just to clarify what Ed was saying, that I mean, therefore, the answer is that if you take the view that the order strictly covers closeout, you have to rely on the oral confirmation that I got yesterday from the Treasury that in the context of ISDAs, the closeout is acceptable in order to close out, and argue that netting is different from set-off, and that the confirmation overnight that set-off should not apply does not apply to ISDAs because they do not set off. They merely crystallise a net sum.
Yeah, the only thing is, the only problem with that, though, is that that's true in relation to closeout amount or market protection versus loss, but it's not necessarily true in relation to unpaid amounts, because unpaid amounts are separate obligations, and so arguably the forward value of settlement amount, closeout amount is still set off against unpaid amounts. So I think basically the prudent thing is really just to assume that closeout netting is probably in the same basket with set off, even though the Treasury hasn't yet confirmed that.
Though they have given us oral confirmation.
Well, we had that oral confirmation in the middle of the afternoon, but we did catch a Treasury legal advisor, sort of on the hop, as it were, and their considered view, which they came back to us later on, was somewhat different.
Okay, which is why I gave the chronology of events. I think that probably goes to culpability, doesn't it? Because, you know, a lot of people may well have closed out following the Treasury confirmation yesterday.
Yeah.
They may technically be within the order, but having relied on the Treasury confirmation, they may be in a better position than this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, gentlemen, do you want your next question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so the next question comes from... Oh, again, we don't have the caller's name.
That doesn't matter, we'll ask.
Can you hear us, caller? I'm not sure that they know their lines live. Okay, bear with me 1 second.
If people could please give their name when they put their question, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so we have our next question. This comes from?
Simon Hood, RBS.
Simon?
Simon.
Hi.
Far away.
My question doesn't relate strictly to lands banky, but we've been asked internally by a couple of people whether the order will be extended to Glitmere and particularly to Kalting. Has there been any indication whatsoever from any conversation you've had with the Treasury that might be the case?
No indication, but we know that the group within the Treasury that does the freezing orders is currently meeting. Now, whether they're meeting to discuss the information that we've provided to them and the question of the license, or meeting to extend it to other banks, we're not aware either way.
Well, no, we are aware that they are discussing all the points that we raised. They did confirm that they would discuss the points on set-off and closeout netting in relation to Landsbanki. But I agree with Simon, we don't know if they're discussing extending the freezing order or applying it to the other banks.
But Ed, Simon, obviously we don't know, but doesn't the freezing order relate to come out of the arrangements with regards to deposits that UK depositors had with Landsbanki, which I understand is not the case with the other banks?
That is the information we've got as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Your next question comes from...
Ben Hamilton, Deutsche Bank.
Hi there. Far away.
Thank you. I'm somewhat of an interloper here from Hong Kong. I'm just wondering whether there was any discussion as to the applicability of the order to non-UK-based entities. Obviously, the language, and you have professed not to be an expert on the Act, but obviously extends to British citizens and also British overseas nationals, which would capture a great deal of people in Hong Kong. So I assume the advice would be that to exercise great caution, notwithstanding that the prosecution may not follow.
The offence is committed by a person in the United Kingdom. Any person elsewhere who's a British citizen, a British overseas territory citizen, a British national overseas or a British overseas citizen, a person who under the British Nationality Act 1981 is a British subject, a British protected person within the meaning of that act, and I haven't checked that, so I'm not going to pretend I have, and a body incorporated under the laws of any part of the United Kingdom.
So basically, if you're not incorporated under the laws of the United Kingdom, and the individuals concerned are not British under one of the definitions that Simon mentioned, then in theory you're not caught by the order.
It's slightly ludicrous.
Yeah.
Check everybody's password and the payment process to back office and front office, then yes.
But it is a criminal statute, and then of course I suspect we'll have the aiding and abetting.
Yeah, aiding and abetting, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. Your next question comes from?
Rob Benton, AIG. Hi there. My question is whether the analysis you think will be significantly different if, rather than a party seeking to close out an Mr. Master Agreement by designating an early termination date, they have merely agreed with Landsbanki to close out transactions, just to early terminate them early. So effectively, a payment will be due going one way or the other, just as it would if you just the parties just agreed to terminate a transaction early. And that
I think that would be dealing within the wide definition of dealing.
Yeah, I think voluntary dealing is still going to be caught by the order.
Because you're altering the contractual relationships in relation to derivative transactions to which they were party.
Right. And if the agreement involved funds being payable to Landsbanki, you think, because I was looking at the frozen funds definition and it seemed difficult to think that a payment due to the Landsbanki would be funds owned, held or controlled by them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly it would be cash and it would be a fund. The question, of course, is whether the cash you hold that you pay to them is owned by them.
Well, any money that's owed to them is their money. It's just not in the form of, an account, a right against an account that they hold with one of their own banks. But it's still one of their assets, and it's still
agreed.
It's a payable, so it's funds. I think the Treasury definitely views that as something you cannot.
Otherwise, they would not be preventing the thing that they're most trying to hit at, which is payments to them.
Yeah, there's absolutely no payments to Landsbanki.
Okay.
Or the Icelandic authorities or the government of Iceland.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much for that. Your next question comes from? Again, we don't have the call.
It doesn't matter, that's fine, we'll ask.
Caller, your line's live.
Is it me again?
Mark Finney from Citigroup.
And yet again, you didn't say your name.
I did. It's fine.
Okay. It didn't work. Yeah.
Probably failed in the instructions. Just going further into the who's actually caught by this. So basically, what you're saying is that if you're not incorporated in the UK, then there's no problem with closing out the an ISDA master.
Well, first of all, it does cover any person in the UK, whether they're incorporated in the UK or not. So if you're in the UK, you're caught. And then in relation to people outside the UK, if it's a body that's not incorporated under the law of a part of the United Kingdom, and none of the individuals involved are British citizens, or can't be said to be in some way involved, then theoretically you're outside the order. But that might be a brave decision to close out, give them for any institution that has British nationals, to some extent involved in the process.
So I think anybody sitting here in London, problem whether you're foreign or you're English, if you went overseas and you were looking at a purely non-British institution with and doing everything from the foreign jurisdiction. And could not be said to doing anything from the United Kingdom, then you would probably be okay as long as we're not British citizens involved in the decisions or any of the steps that involve the closing out or the payments.
Yeah, another way of saying that this does not purport to prevent a Thai bank from closing out against Landsbanki, assuming there's no British connection. But, you want to be very, very, very careful, obviously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have no further questions in the queue.
Right, David, Dean, do you want to sum up or do you want to?
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Thanks to those who asked the questions. I think that's helped to elucidate. I think if those the law firms who were on who want to have a separate discussion with Alan and Overy, please contact Simon and Ed or contact me and we can set that up. Also, I guess if we when we do hear from the Treasury as to hopefully some good news as to clarification or issuing of the general license, we will send a note around about that to the distribution list that we sent the note of this call to. If people have other questions, they can drop an email to me, dean@isda.org. And we can try and discuss those. But perhaps the best thing now is to wait until we have more news from the Treasury. Update you on Simon.
David, it's Simon. I extended to obviously to Philip Charles and Freshfields to ask questions if they want to call through. I can give you a number now where we've got myself, Ed, and David, and various others in the room where they can call through to discuss it. And indeed, any other of the dealers that are on the call had any further questions or wanted clarification, they could call through. We'll stay around for the next 20 minutes to take any calls. And the number is 0203 088 4548.
Thanks very much, Simon. Appreciate you making yourself available for that.
Pleasure.
All right. Thanks, everybody. When we have more news, we will send a note around. Thanks to A&O and thanks to all for dialing in.
Thank you.
Thank you.